healthcare gets another vote today for repeal.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Steve Chiatakis. On Capitol Hill today, the House is scheduled to vote on a repeal of the health care overhaul that passed last summer. Republicans say despite calls by Democrats to block the repeal, politicians shouldn't underestimate their zeal. But some of the most popular provisions of the new law have already gone into effect, making it harder to completely repeal the overhaul. Marketplace's Nancy Marshall Genzer reports.
The consumer provisions already in effect include allowing young people to stay on their parents' health insurance plans until the age of 26 and prohibiting insurers from denying coverage to children with pre-existing conditions, plus making it illegal for insurance companies to search for a mistake on an insurance application in order to cancel a policy. Vivian Ho is a healthcare economist at Rice University. She says these parts of the healthcare overhaul are popular, complicating repeal efforts.
I think once the public becomes aware of some of these particular provisions and they're actually taking advantage of them themselves, they are going to be less likely to be in favor of repealing the legislation.
The House will probably vote to repeal the health care law, but the Senate isn't likely to follow suit, and President Obama would veto any repeal anyway. But Democrats say they are open to tinkering with the law. The House is expected to approve a second measure instructing three committees to come up with replacement legislation. In Washington, I'm Nancy Marshall Genzer for Marketplace.
Let's do the numbers. Markets are off just a little bit right now. The S&P and NASDAQ each off about 6 to 7 tenths of a percent. The Dow down now 7 points, a fraction of a percent at 11,831. Global markets mostly lower right now as well. Goldman Sachs today reported a more than 50% drop in quarterly profit. That's because of lower results in fixed income trading. IBM reported a more than $5 billion profit last quarter.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Allianz, providing investment, insurance, and retirement solutions since 1896. ALLIANZUSA.com. By Microsoft, providing comprehensive business solutions for the cloud. You can learn more at Microsoft.com/cloud. And by PBS, presenting a look at the cutting edge, like car parts made from mushrooms. Nova's Making Stuff, tonight at 9, 8 Central on PBS.
We're expecting an announcement today by the Obama administration on a couple of big deals between China and the U.S. Reportedly, that includes China's purchase of $45 billion in American exports, including at least 200 planes from Boeing. Now, tomorrow, the Chinese president, Hu Jintao, will meet with Boeing's CEO. But today, he has several other business execs on his schedule, including Lloyd Blankfein of Goldman Sachs and Jeff Immelt of General Electric. They're likely to discuss China's undervalued currency, the trade imbalance between the two nations, and the country's treatment of American businesses. A survey out today, though, shows U.S. businesses in China have a bit different picture from Shanghai. Here's Marketplace's Rob Schmitz.
They complain about DVD piracy and intellectual property violations. They gripe about a market that favors Chinese companies. But U.S. businesses in China are, well, happy.
Very impressive financial results, best ever since we've been doing this survey.
The American Chamber of Commerce survey coordinator, Stephen Gansner, says U.S. companies never made so much money in China. 8 out of 10 companies surveyed say they're very profitable.
The experience level of 5, 10, 15 years in the market have helped companies to be a little bit smarter, avoid some of the stupid mistakes that were made in the past, and know how to win.
But that doesn't mean they're content with the rules. Two-thirds of companies surveyed continue to be frustrated about China's regulatory environment. Many feel that China's so-called indigenous innovation laws, a national campaign to spur innovation among Chinese companies, is creating an increasingly unfair playing field. But it's a field nobody intends to leave anytime soon. In Shanghai, I'm Rob Schmitz from Marketplace.
As we stay focused on the Chinese president's visit to the U.S., let's talk a little bit about the quality of life and how it's changed in Asia over the last few decades. This morning, we have Marketplace Globalist Quiz Master Stefan Richter. He's publisher and editor-in-chief of theglobalist.com. Good morning, Stefan.
Good morning, Steve. How are you? Ready for today's quiz?
I am ready. I am ready. Let's do it.
Which Asian country's economic lot has improved the most since the 1960s? And measured by income per person.
All right.
Is it A, Japan, B, Singapore, C, South Korea, or D, the eternal favorite for everything these days, China?
Since the 1960s, huh?
Uh-huh.
Okay. I'm going to guess China.
For once, China is not the top performer in global economic statistics these days. You know, they made $100 a year in current dollars of 1965. So see how far they've gone. And they almost make around $3,000 these days, at least as of 2008 data. And, of course, that's increasing a lot. That's 2,800% more, but you struck out.
Okay, then let's try Japan.
Japan is number four among these options. But they've come a long way. They made $890 per year back in 65, and now it's over $38,200, and that's a 4,200% increase.
I'd like that raise. So, I'm not getting any raises, though, with the way I'm dealing with this question right here, Stefan. All right, let's try South Korea.
You are a genius. Bingo. 16,500% increase. So the South Koreans have reason to feel good about themselves. Back in 65, they made $130 a year. Now it's over $22,000 a year. That's pretty cool.
Stefan Richter, the editor-in-chief over at The Globalist. Find out more about the world at theglobalist.com. Stefan, thanks.
All the best. Bye-bye.
And finally, in a time of so much music available to the masses, new translation guides to rap music have been popping up all over the place online. There's understandingrap.com, rapgenius.com. So when somebody's unsure of just what Lil Wayne means when he says, "I got through that sentence like a subject and a predicate," you're going to find out he's not talking about grammar. Tom Lehman of Rap Genius says most rap listeners, like most rock listeners, are more interested in a hot beat than deep, meaningful lyrics. I'm Steve Chiatakis in Los Angeles. This is the Marketplace Morning Report.
American Public Media.
The gambling money just hasn't been flowing, so Atlantic City, New Jersey is trying something a little bit different.
That's a 25-pound bunny that retails for about $150. We have many retailers who buy that to make a statement in their store.
I'm Kai Rizdahl from Vice to Nice. Next time on Marketplace from American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
"What is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?"
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.